Book Choice, Publisher's Choice with Paige Nick.
Hello and welcome to Book Choice on Fine Music Radio with me, your host Paige Nick. And you'll be pleased to hear that you're tuned into our special Publisher's Choice edition of the show. This show happens once a month or so, and it's sponsored by Exclusive Books. And if you're joining us and listening into the show for the very first time, a very big welcome to you. And this is how our Publisher's Choice show works. Once a month, we welcome three of South Africa's top publishers to the show. We've got Penguin Random House, Jonathan Ball Publishers, and Pan Macmillan, as well as South Africa's favorite bookseller, Exclusive Books. And each of these publishers and this bookseller comes into the studio to tell us what they're reading right now, what they're publishing, and what's trending on their bookshelves right now here in South Africa and around the world. This is an exciting time in publishing. May is always a very big month with a host of new releases, and especially with the Franschhoek Literary Festival coming up this weekend. The industry is abuzz. We've got big names coming into South Africa and even bigger names in South Africa launching their new books. So let's get the show on the road, as they say. But first, some music, because this is Fine Music Radio after all.
Here comes the sun, dun, dun.
That was the Beatles medley by 8 Mrs. Croon, and you're tuned into Book Choice, Publisher's Choice on Fine Music Radio with me, your host, Paige Nick. As I mentioned just before that great track, we've got three of South Africa's top publishers in the studio today and South Africa's favorite bookseller exclusive books. We're going to start off with Viz Chetty, who's from Penguin Random House South Africa. Viz always has so many great books to bring us that I don't want to waste another second. Let's talk about books. Over to you, Viz.
Hi, Paige, and hello to all the FMR listeners. This is Viz Chetty coming from Penguin Random House. I am here to talk about the May releases, our big May titles coming up. We've got quite a great list, and we're just getting warmed up for the season. We've got so many more to come for the rest, so stay tuned to my monthly updates and recommendations. The first one I want to go into is by a local author, Sven Axelrad. We've published two books by him so far. The first one was called Buried Treasure. Then he followed that up with a book called God's Pocket. And now we have a brand new book by him, not set in the town of Vivo that the first two books were set, called The Nicotine Gospel. So the story is set in two different timelines, from 1987 and another timeline is 2011. And it's about two brothers, Nate and Danny, who end up living with their father, sort of distant father named Espen, who has to take care of them after their mother passes away, unfortunately, in a very tragic way. And their father has this doctrine that he teaches them along the way when they were young, and that's called, or what they call, the Nicotine Gospel. And the whole premise of that gospel is that you can learn everything you want to know about a person from the cigarettes that they smoke, hence the term the Nicotine Gospel. So they grew up, as you can imagine, in a crazy, very unique situation with their eccentric father. And it's fast forward to 2011 when he's now passed away, and the two brothers have to do a road trip from Durban to Cape Town to attend his funeral. But it's a road trip story where the two brothers actually connect again and realize this is the world that they grew up in and how unique and sometimes insane that world was. So The Nicotine Gospel is out now. The book is by an author called Sven Axelrad. He's a great talent. We're so lucky to have him on our list, and we hope that you pick it up and read it. It's a fantastic read, beautifully written. Another one, another big, big, big author for us on the local side, Ankie Kroch is back. She hasn't published a novel in about 9 years now. So the last book was called Begging to be Black, and that book was 9 years ago, can you believe it? So she's back with a new book. We've done it in dual languages, Blood's Inner Rhyme by Ankie Kroch and Die Binnenrim van Blut. And it is a autofiction, as she calls it. So it is fiction, but heavily based on her experience as a child, especially the relationship that she has with her mother, the very, very well-respected Dot Serfontein. It's one of the most stunning books I've read all year. It's one of my favorites personally, so I would recommend that you pick it up and read it. It is well, well, well written. She's done so well. It's heartfelt. It's historical. It's about a relationship between mother and daughter. And as in true Ankie Kroch style, she talks about her time as a writer during the days of the apartheid era and what that was like. And again, the common theme through the whole thing is this relationship with her mother, Dot. So Blood's Inner Rhyme, Die Binnenrim van Blut by Ankie Kroch is out right now. It will be everywhere that you see it, and you should pick it up as well. It comes highly recommended from me and the guys at Penguin Random House. Right, the next one is by another favorite of mine, Ocean Vuong. He did a wonderful book many years ago called On Earth We're Briefly Gorgeous. This book is called The Emperor of Gladness, and it is set in a post-industrial town called East Gladness, Connecticut, and it's a main character, a protagonist by the name of Hai. He's 19 years old, and the book starts off with him actually attempting suicide on the bridge overlooking a river. An old woman who's suffering from dementia, she lives on the other side of the river, and she coaxes him off the bridge. And they have a little chat and they talk, and eventually he ends up being her caregiver, living with her in this little hut that she lives in. So it's this relationship between this young man and this old woman suffering from dementia, but it's also about the people of this town where he ends up working in a fast food sort of restaurant, and the relationships of all these people to him and to that town and to the world, really. So I think, Ocean Vuong is just so good at putting you into the lives of these people. He's very character-driven. And it's, again, one of my favorite reads for the year. I think it is just an amazing follow-up to On Earth We're Briefly Gorgeous. Last Line just knocks you off your feet. I cannot recommend this enough. The Emperor of Gladness, Ocean Vuong's follow-up, is out right now as well. Right, and then the next one is by John Boyne. The book is called Air. If you have picked up the series, it's called the Elements series, and it's four books, obviously each of them named after one of the four elements, and this book, Air, is the last one in the series. So if you haven't picked it up, you can just pick it. It starts from earth, fire, water, and then air. I may have got that order wrong, but that's fine. I mean, if you pick it up, you can read them in any order, really, but I would recommend you pick them up from the beginning. So all four books will be out now. You can start from the beginning. They're little novellas. They're four novellas, all connected in some way. But this one is about a man and his son and this relationship that they are trying to, let's say, mend, but sort of nurture and sort of strengthen. It's sort of a redemptive story as well. So it starts off 30,000 feet in the air, and Aaron Umber is sitting there and he's sort of taking time to reflect, and it's an opportunity to connect with his 15-year-old son as they travel halfway across the world to meet a woman who isn't even expecting them. Unsettled by his past and he's anxious for his future, Aaron is at a crossroads in life. The damage inflicted upon him, you know, during his youth had made him the man and who he is now, but threatens to also widen the growing gap between him and his only child. So this trip could bind them closer, or it could tear them further apart. So it's wonderfully written. John Boyne does so well for us. And if you are coming out to Franschhoek, I just want to quickly slip this in there. If you are coming out to Franschhoek, he is a special guest of honor at the festival this year. Please come and meet him, and he will be talking about this book at that event. And I will see you there too. So come say hi. All right. And then the next one, or the last one really, is another huge one for us. Rachel Joyce, The Homemade God. If you know Rachel Joyce, I mean, if you've read The Unlikely Pilgrimage of Harold Fry, which I highly recommend as well, she's done so many really great books in the past for us. This one, I feel, is her most real. It's moving. It just really connects. And it's about this artist. He's a well-renowned artist. He's well into his 70s. He calls all his children out to his home in Italy at Lake Como, and they think he's there to talk about this painting that he's been doing. He's been working on this piece of work for so long, and they think, you know, he's there to tell them that he's finished it and he's going to do this big reveal. But it turns out he's going to just tell them that he's going to get married, and he's marrying a woman who's many, many years his junior. She's 27 years and he's about 77. So that's the news that they get. Anyway, shortly afterwards, Vic Kemp, this artist, dies, and these four siblings have to travel back to the house, and they have to sort of settle the estate that he's left behind. And obviously his fiance is still there, so there's that relationship as well. It's wonderfully written. It's about family, it's about love, it's about connection. You cannot go wrong with this book. I highly recommend this. This one is right now as well. You will see it everywhere. It's got a very striking jacket. You'll see it. So Rachel Joyce, The Homemade God, that's another great recommendation from my side. And that basically covers it. We've got so many more. Stay tuned. Like I said, if I don't see you at the Franschhoek Literary Festival, I will be back in the coming months to tell you about the other big ones coming from Penguin Random House. I just want to again say thank you to the readers. Thank you for supporting our books always. And we hope that you love them. Thank you.
Can you even believe that massive list that Penguin have this month? Every single one of the authors Viz just mentioned are not just massive, but also huge and powerful and big hitters. What's not to like and race to your bookstore for? There are a few that I especially want to mention and give a little extra love to. That's the Sven Axelrod, called The Nicotine Gospel, and of course, the Anki Kroch. First off, it's been so long since we've had Anki on the page again. And this is a big freaking deal, listeners. It's much awaited, much anticipated, and will be very much read and loved. So go out and grab your copy as soon as possible. Anki will also be at the Franschhoek Literary Festival this weekend. Then there's the Axelrod. There's no secret here that he is one of my favorite contemporary South African literary fiction authors, definitely top three. This is his third novel. I have it right now next to my bed on my to-read pile. And if you like your books deep and dark and funny and interesting and curious, this is the author for you. And then I also wanted to give a shout out to the Rachel Joyce. I just finished The Homemade God like 2 days ago, and I have to say, I think it's pretty incredible. It has so much tension. It's a proper page turner. With this book, I thought I knew what was coming. At least four or five times, I thought, I know what this book is. And then she takes a swerve into the unknown, and she unwraps a whole new human truth. Rachel Joyce is a master. I loved her Miss Benson's Beetle, and this is just as good. It's a big, fat, page-turnery read that you're after. So thank you so much to Viz from Penguin Random House. That was an incredible collection. That was Street Beat by David Hewitt, and you're tuned into Book Choice, our very special Publisher's Choice edition. Next up on the show, we welcome Jonathan Ball Publishers. Jean-Marie Korf from Jonathan Ball has a really special treat for us today. This is big news. Jean-Marie is joined in the studio by none other than globally best-selling author Abby Daré. She's here to chat about her latest global smash hit, an instant bestseller. It's called And So I Roar. But she's also here to chat about her writing and her appearance at the Franschhoek Literary Festival this weekend. Abby Daré's first acclaimed novel, The Girl with a Louding Voice, was a New York Times bestseller, a Today Show book club pick, a BBC Radio 4 book club pick, and it's been translated into over a dozen languages. When Abby's not writing, she loves hanging out at her local cafe, giving talks, and she's a big advocate for female education. And hopefully joining us on Book Choice to chat about her new novel today, and then she's heading to the Franschhoek Literary Festival this coming weekend. I think her panels are all sold out already, but check on the Franschhoek Literary Festival website. Maybe they'll put out a few more. Welcome to the show, Jean-Marie Korf and Abby Daré.
Thanks so much, Paige, and welcome to the Fine Music Radio listeners. My name is Jean-Marie Korf, and on today's show, I have the amazing opportunity to chat to author Abby Daré, who will be in South Africa this coming weekend for the Franschhoek Literary Festival. Abby is an author and public speaker who grew up in Lagos, Nigeria, and has lived in the UK for over 18 years now. She studied law and has an MSc in International Project Management, as well as an MA in Creative Writing. In 2018, she won the Bath Novel Award and was a finalist in the literary consultancy Pen Factor 2018. Her debut novel, The Girl with the Louding Voice, was published in 2020 to critical acclaim, and her follow-up novel, And So I Roar, was published in 2024. Welcome to the show, Abby, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
I have to ask, will this be your first trip to South Africa, and what are you excited about most?
Oh, it will be my first trip. I'm excited about everything. I've heard great things about South Africa, so...
Okay, well, we really can't wait to welcome you. Your writing has touched so many readers around the world, and I wanted to ask you, was there ever a moment in your life where you went, I want to be a writer, and when was that moment?
So I think it was shortly after I arrived in the UK as a student. I had come from Lagos as an international student, and I was navigating the culture, the weather, the food. So I turned to writing on an online journal, like a blog, and the reaction to that, it was just amazing. I had so many hits, so many people visited it, and I think that was the first time I realized the power of writing, of touching lives. So I thought it would be nice to be a writer, but it didn't actually happen until like 10 years later.
I think that's usually the stories that I always hear, that it takes time. If you could give listeners an elevator pitch for your two books, what would that be?
I'm never great at this. So The Girl with the Louding Voice is a story of a 14-year-old, spirited, wonderful, intelligent Nigerian girl who wants an education more than anything and would fight for it, and has to overcome a lot of obstacles, including becoming a housemaid for a wealthy family in Lagos. Yeah, so that's The Girl with the Louding Voice. It's funny, it's witty, it's brilliant. Aduna is a character that everyone would fall in love with. And So I Roar is a follow-up, which tells the story of Tia and Aduna. Tia is a woman Aduna met in the first book. And So I Roar is a coming together of Aduna and Tia to fight against that which seeks to oppress and silence women and girls from Aduni's village in Ekati, as well as Tia's opportunity to uncover some deep, dark secrets about her past. I hope I did well with that.
You said people will fall in love with Aduna, and I really did fall in love with her. And my next question is actually about Aduna. I mean, she's such a vivid and unforgettable character. What inspired her voice and her story?
So her story, maybe let me talk about that first. She was inspired by many of the young girls that I saw around me that were working as maids, housemaids for families in Lagos where I grew up. And we had a housemaid in my family as well. And I remember some of our maids as being very spirited in a way, a bit like Aduna, and funny. And so coming to writing her, I wanted to tell the story of child labor, really, and child marriage. And so creating her voice was a conscious decision to have her kind of really different from me, so that I could respect the story of the girls that I'd seen growing up that were not my story. It wasn't my story. I wanted to give sort of respect and agency to that story. And so that's kind of where Aduna came from. I wanted to make her as distinct from me as possible.
Okay. And I really think you did it so well. And like you are saying now, you know, education, gender inequality, intergenerational trauma, those are all very important themes in your books. And I wanted to touch on the education part of it. How important is education to you, and also having access, you know, to education?
It is so critical. I often have a lot of conversations with people around this, and people often mistake education for riches, for financial abilities. And I always say that education as well, the coming to get everything that makes you who you are, giving a girl child education helps her to be informed, to be able to make choices, to be able to decide for herself and to be able to stand in society, right? And everything else gets sort of added onto that girl's child. And so for me, it is sort of the backbone for which I've been able to start my life, right? It's the foundation for everything. And it's a right, it's a fundamental human right. And I feel that every girl, every child should have access to good quality education.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. And what do you hope readers will take away from your books?
I mean, my books explore a lot of themes. Ansoiro, for instance, really talks about tradition, the climate and how it affects rural parts of Nigeria, certain rural parts of Nigeria. But I hope they take away the resilience, the power of our voice, being able to sort of speak up for ourselves and fight for what we feel is right against injustices, especially against the girl child.
And just before I let you go, we unfortunately don't have a lot more time, but what can people expect from your events at the Franschhoek Literary Festival this weekend?
I'm so excited because I believe it's going to be knowledge-packed, fun, an opportunity to hear from amazing authors, including myself, to meet with amazing readers, you know, get their questions asked, answered. Sorry. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to the great food and some non-alcoholic wine.
Well, you'll definitely not be disappointed because we do have a lot of that. But thanks so much for your time, Abby, and thanks for joining us. If anyone wants to still grab a ticket for the Franschhoek Literary Festival, then please do so online on their website. And yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much.
That was Abby Dare speaking to us from the UK ahead of her visit to South Africa this weekend for the much-anticipated Franschhoek Literary Festival. The Franschhoek Literary Festival will be offering amazing local and international authors, so if you don't have any plans, then be sure to head over to Franschhoek this weekend. You can grab tickets online, as mentioned, from web tickets, or you can take a chance to still buy a ticket at the door. Here's to a weekend filled with amazing conversations and lovely, amazing reads.
Thank you so much to the Jonathan Ball team and to Jean-Marie Korf. And what a treat to have Abby Dare in the studio chatting to us about her appearance at the Franschhoek Literary Festival this coming weekend and her incredible new novel, And So I Roar. The Jonathan Ball team do such a fantastic job on social media. They also have an incredible podcast called PageCast. So check them out. Go to your favorite social media platform, type in Jonathan Ball Publishers, and you'll find them there. And you can win books through them, you can listen to their podcast, and you can find out more about their authors who are coming out to South Africa, like Abby Dare, and the books they're publishing in South Africa. We love having you in the studio, Jonathan Ball. Thank you so much.
Stay and daydream of you as I fade in the water and admire the view. I smile as I notice the sunlight. Waves ripple the water, one begins to rise. I see the sun descending. Behind, and for one simple moment, its light kissed the tide and translucent waters of night. Ooh, crystal golden hue, green and sapphire blue. A disguise for what truly lies behind. It's clear and true. The ebb and flow of water, the spirit of the sea. It's here I'll play eternally. and your magic has mystified me. You've captured my heart and my soul. Oh, there's nowhere else I'd rather go. You're constantly helping me grow. It's you.
Welcome back. That was Fantasia by Sarah Blake. And did you know all the music in today's show has been very carefully curated by our own Mzu Makete? Mzu's right here with me in the studio. Mzu, we're so grateful for your great taste in music. We're joined next by the Pan Macmillan team. And I'm pretty sure we've mentioned this already, so forgive me for this shameless punt. But Pan Macmillan is actually my publisher. And also, as you've possibly already heard, I have a new book out, and it's called Book People. So we thought it would be a fun idea for me to chat to a professional bookworm, Helene Kutsier, about my book. So Helene is not only a publicist at Pan Macmillan, but she's also my publicist, which means she helps with everything to do with the book once it's been published. Wait, why am I telling you all of this? Helene, before we get started, won't you tell our listeners what an average day in the life of a publicist looks like?
Ooh, an average day includes lots of spreadsheets, lots of phone calls, lots of WhatsApps, and speed reading, a lot of speed reading. But basically, a publicist is the person that helps a book get noticed by the public, helps the readers find out about a book. So we're the connection after the book is published, before it's in a reader's hands. So that's why all the spreadsheets are to keep track of it. We read so we can know what we're talking about. We set up press releases. We give talking points to media. There's a lot that goes into it, and not a single day looks the same as the day before.
And you're dealing with a number of books at the same time. So you don't just have one book coming out at a time. You've got lots of balls being juggled in the air, right?
Yes. And we work about 3 months in advance, but then also 3 months backward. Like, you're always straddling quite a few topics. It can be anything from a man who ran 100 Ironmans in 100 days to book people to whatever you can imagine. We're working on it.
That's interesting. I never thought about that you're working 3 months behind because you're working with the books that are still coming. I never thought about that. And then when the books come, you have to work with them then as well. That's really interesting. Right. So Helene and I thought we would give you listeners a very special insider view into what my book, Book People, is all about and what you can expect. So welcome to the show, Helene. And well, welcome to me too.
Yes, welcome. We're going to swap hats now. I'm the interviewer. I've got the interviewer hat on and you're the author. And well done and congratulations on your latest book, Book People.
Thank you.
Can I tell the listeners all about it?
Yes, go for it.
Okay, so Book People is a comedy about a group of book lovers who literally lose the plot. That's our tagline that we use. And we have two wonderful main characters. Norma Jacobs is an accountant. She runs a very big and very active digital book club. And she's got a deadbeat for a boyfriend who wants to be a writer and her own bookish dreams that include a massive career pivot. We'll get back to that. The second main character is Harry Shields, a crime writer who is desperate to be a bestseller and a very active member of Norma's book club. After a negative review of his book, Once on a Tuesday, that's the name of his book, he does what no author should ever, ever do, and that is to respond publicly to a review. One thing leads to another, and Harry goes viral for the wrong reasons. And what follows is a riot to read. Book People shows us the insanity of online communities. It gives us insight into what it must be like to try and make it as an author and a fascinating glimpse into the publishing world. Paige, did I sum it up?
You did better than I would have done. Thank you. You did an amazing job.
So tell us, this book is dedicated to all the members of the actual Real Life Good Book Appreciation Society on Facebook. And we can't talk about Book People without talking about GBAS, as we say in short. Why did you write about them?
That's so true. So, you know, the oldest publishing advice in the world is that you should write what you know. Either that or you have to go and do a whole lot of research. So I run this, as I'm sure the listeners have heard me go bang on about many times. I run a book club on Facebook. It's called the Good Book Appreciation Society, and it has 23,000 and something members. And so I wrote a book about a book club on Facebook called the Good Book Appreciation Society. And it's just a whole lot of what actually happens in the club. I took all the action and the tension and the arguments and the debates that happen in the club and the relationships, and I amplified them and turned them into fiction and made them into a book and tried to make it as fun as possible.
That's awesome. I've been a member of the Good Book Appreciation Society since, I think, 2013. And initially, I was just a voyeur. And then slowly but surely, the vibes of the club allowed me to feel comfortable. So what's your advice to people who are listening and who really want to be part of a community like that, but they feel insecure about their own reviews and opinions about books?
That's a really good question. I can't tell you how many people I meet who tell me that they're on the club, but they're too shy or nervous to add a review. And they always say, well, I'm not a proper reviewer and I don't know how to do this. And I just say to them, you know, this is a free and a safe space. You don't have to be a professional reviewer. All you have to do is tell people how you feel about a book, because somebody's going to come along and read what you've had to say about a book that they're interested in, and it might sway them in either direction. So it's not about being a professional reviewer. You don't have to be Michelle Magwood or Jenny Crace Williams to review on the page. Just come. And if you feel uncomfortable to leave a review, then, you know, just look at everybody else's reviews. You're welcome to come and enjoy the page however you want to. Some people spend years on the page before they post a review. Some people never post a review. Some people post 5 reviews a day. So I think you just have to make the club work for yourself. But I think people will find, unless it's a review of a highly politicized book or a highly politicized character, members of the club are really friendly. And everyone just wants to chat about our favorite thing, which is books. I'm so glad you asked that question, Helena.
Yes. And the dynamics of the club is actually very much like the dynamics in the book, except we've never had anything that happened on the book club turn into a cozy crime,
right,
or elicit a detective to look into what's going on. Now, if that makes you curious, I'll let you read the book to find out why a detective gets involved. So, Paige, I want to know, we all know that fact is crazier than fiction, but as a fiction writer, how do you go about writing believable fiction in this crazy world that we live in today?
And that's another really good question, because, you know, they say truth is stranger than fiction. And I'm a comedy writer. I've also been like a spoof, you know, a political spoof writer. And the crazy thing about what's happened in the world, just in a short space, even in the last 5 to 10 years, is that a lot of what's happening has gone really mental. You could not make a lot of this stuff up. You know, you could not make up the fact that the American president was a reality TV star. You couldn't make this stuff up. So as a comedy writer, 2 things happen. The one is you have to make up more and more crazy stuff to keep up with what's going on in the world, or you just can represent what's happening in the world and just amplify it a little bit. And that's some crazy fiction, man. I often say to people, if I had to go to my publisher and say, I have an idea about something that's happened in the real world, she would say to me, it's a little far-fetched. I don't really believe that would actually happen. So it's interesting.
Look, if we were here to discuss your previous novel, Unprecedented, then everyone would say that would never happen, and then it actually did happen exactly as you wrote it.
I mean, the world has gone a little bit mad, right? So it's good and bad for comedians, because we have to just get a little even more crazy.
But the crazy is very entertaining in your book. It helps us to kind of escape the harsh realities of the day. And what's also amazing about Book People for us as South African readers is it feels like coming home, because your characters are so quintessentially South African. But there's a twist, because it's not actually set in South Africa, it's set in London. Was that a conscious decision to set it there? And how did you go about keeping your Paige Nick voice as a South African writer while setting your book in a different country?
And that's another great question. You're quite good at this. You should be a publicist.
I should.
So I very much needed Norma, the main character who runs the club, who's actually me. I needed her to not be me. And so in order to do that, I set her in London. She lives in London. And I made her the furthest thing that I could think of ever doing for a career. So I made her an accountant. I'm very bad with numbers. And so I made her not me. A number of reasons why I set the book in London, because I needed it to be quite different.
Paige, what do you want readers to take away from reading your novel?
Another lovely question. You know, the reason that I write and bring out a book, it's an incredibly tough market to bring a book into. But for me, the writing is such an escape from a difficult world that we live in. When I write, I disappear into the comedy. I disappear into the characters. And for me, if a reader can pick up the book and have a laugh and have a smile and disappear from any difficulty in their lives or having to make dinner or dealing with screaming kids or dealing with a deadline or traffic, if I can help somebody just disappear and enjoy themselves for 5 minutes, then I feel like my work here is done.
Amazing. Thank you.
Helena, thank you so much for coming and chatting to me here and turning the tables. And thank you all for listening in. You can find all the authors you've heard about on today's show, including myself, on social media. You can also join the Good Book Appreciation Society by searching for it on Facebook. And you can follow each of these publishing houses on social media. They're always sharing interesting content, and you can even win tons of free books. Okay, so how about some music before we head into our final segment with exclusive books? That was Human Nature by Two Cellos, and you're tuned into Book Choice, our special Publisher's Choice edition on Fine Music Radio. As we head into the final segment of the show, I can tell you that if you missed any of this show, Mzu will load it as a podcast on fmr.co.za in about 20 minutes' time, so you can listen back at your leisure. So last up, we're very excited that we're joined on the show by our wonderful sponsors, Exclusive Books. Today, Sungana Kanjera is here. She works behind the scenes at Exclusive Books to make sure that only the very best of the latest fiction and nonfiction lands up on their shelves for you, our dear reader. Welcome to the show, Sungana. I'm so excited to hear what you've got for us this month.
Thank you, Paige. Everyone has a story, and the best ones always get another read. My name is Sungana, and I'm with Exclusive Books, inviting you to reflect, revisit, and reconsider with this month's picks from EB Recommends. Starting with Anki Kroch, one of the most important voices in South African literature, who is making her return to narrative prose for the first time since Begging to be Black in 2009. with Bloods in a Rhyme, written in Afrikaans and English. Anke Kroch returns to the landscape of her childhood in the heart of the Free State Plains through blending her own biography with fictional elements. Kroch untangles her relationship with her mother, writer Dot Saffontaine, in a combination of diary entries, letters, and care home records to trace her relationships with the land, her mother, the history of South Africa, and romantic relationships that cross racial boundaries. Kroch writes, "I came to know the country. I have enacted my life no better or worse than others. The harvest was not richer or poorer than that of others, though full of good shoots. But I knew that I was coming to die here, next to the river. I came to look for it like the elephants do." When you think of cinema, the drama, the glitz, the glamour, it's not often that Kalani Johannesburg comes to mind. Ted Buerta invites you to broaden your horizons in Hollywood on the Veldt, a never-before-told story of the rise and fall of the most unique empire ever. Picture this. It's 1913. Johannesburg is a developing metropolis after the gold rush. An American millionaire, I.W. Schlesinger, decides to pivot from poverty investment in and around Johannesburg to entertainment, purchasing tea room bioscopes, a combination of cafes and movie theaters. It wasn't until 1915 when I.W. established Kalani Film Studios, the first motion picture studio in Africa. This came after the purchase of Africa's Amalgamated Theatres from Rufus Naylor and Empire Theatres from Edgar Heyman, establishing his monopoly of cinemas and movie theatres across the city. African Film Productions, the production company under Kalani Film Studios, would go on to make 43 films between 1916 and 1922, capitalizing on the scarcity of international film availability during the First World War. One of the first films produced by African Film Productions was South Africa's first animated film, called Artist's Dream, in 1915. While it was widely contested for its similarity to Thomas Edison's film of the same name from 1900, there are no known copies of the South African version that remain. In a city experiencing its golden age, the high drama of IW Studio fit in perfectly. Follow the action both on and off screen, from political intrigue and clashing egos to public outbursts and judicial inquiries, even death and disaster in Hollywood in the Veldt, a deep dive into the secrets behind the mad enterprise and the man behind it all. If you're looking for a more traditional fiction feel, you can pick up Unsolicited by Andrea Shaw, a local debut and murder mystery sure to pique your interest. We meet Detective Fatima Matthews, who's normally quick-witted and sharp-eyed, but currently being sucker-punched by menopause. When a reader is found dead with melted eyes at a local publisher, Detective Matthews needs to solve the case, and fast. With threats beginning to escalate and crises mounting behind the scenes, Detective Matthews must come to terms with her weaknesses and reckon with the greatest adversary of all, time. All three of these books, Bloods in a Rhyme, Hollywood on the Veldt, and Unsolicited, are homegrown, rounding out the South African literary landscape that continues to grow. Here in South Africa, we're lucky to have so many talented authors covering every topic under the sun, from gripping memoirs to murder mysteries, steamy romances, or factual exposés. Every year, Exclusive Books puts together a collection of the best in local literature in our homebrew catalogue. You can find Anke Kroch, Ted Buerta, and Andrea Shaw, among others, in this year's homebrew selection. If you're lucky enough to make it to Franschhoek for Franschhoek Literary Festival from the 16th to the 18th of May, or Kingsmead Book Fair on the 24th of May, you can catch them there as well. On the other side of the world, international fiction and nonfiction both promise a combination of reads that revel in the gift of hindsight. Emily Henry, of Book Talk fame, returns with a different type of summer romance. If romance isn't your usual taste, this could be the book that changes your mind. We meet Alice Scott, a journalist searching for her big break, and Hayden Anderson, who is no stranger to writing a good story, Pulitzer Prize-winning stories. When Alice tracks down 8-year-old Margaret Ives, a former tabloid princess, tragic heiress, and daughter of the Ives Empire, Alice is determined to be the one to tell Margaret's story. But there's a catch. Hayden is also up for the job, and Margaret has a few tricks up her sleeve. If you like The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo by Taylor Jenkins Reid, you'll love Great Big Beautiful Life. Among the mystery, love, loss, and family drama, you'll find characters that stick with you as they learn more about themselves, each other, and the power of being the one to tell your story. On a different note, Amy Griffin shares her story of repressed trauma in The Tell. Retracing your steps can be difficult. Understanding yourself can be a journey that uncovers the worst parts of you. But as the saying goes, to be known is to be loved, and to be loved is to be known. Amy Griffin has been known as many things in her life, a student athlete, a perfectionist, a venture capitalist, daughter, and a mother. But for the better part of two decades, Griffin was also a survivor, The Tell is a heart-wrenching memoir on how the brain may forget, but the body always remembers. As Oprah's book club pick for March, The Tell unpacks years of trauma in Griffin's attempt to connect with her daughter and free herself from an unconscious pain holding her back from her friends and family. Told through personal reflections, Griffin unpacks what it means to embrace your whole story, the good and bad, and finding your voice to be able to make deeper connections with yourself and with others. She writes, "As the years ticked forward, my body kept telling me to slow down, but I just couldn't. I had two gears, fast and faster. I threw myself into physical activity, which had always been my escape, and spent months training for a triathlon. Swim, bike, run, repeat. I would always be at the YMCA pool at 5:30 in the morning, then home in time to take the kids to school, leaving enough time to bike or run for an hour or two before officially starting the day. What if you don't complete the race?" a friend asked, but the thought had never crossed my mind. Giving up was not an option. All of the books mentioned are available at Exclusive Books, both in-store and online. And if you like any of them, please be sure to leave a review on our website at exclusivebook.co.za. And happy reading.
Okay, incredible, incredible, incredible. We got another shout out there for the new Anki Kroch. And can I just tell you, I was so excited to hear Sungana talk about the new Ted Burton novel. He is a phenomenal South African author. And I can also tell you, he's really fun to follow on Facebook. He posts loads of beautifully written thoughts and posts about some of the behind-the-scenes ideas behind his books. His last book about Daisy DeMalco was also a big bestseller. Ted also is a big coffee connoisseur, so follow him for excellent coffee tips and places to go. I also want to talk about Unsolicited by Andrea Shaw that Sungana mentioned. Well, first of all, Andrea and I are on a panel together at the Franschhoek Literary Festival this weekend, and there are still a couple of tickets going, just saying. So I've already read Andrea Shaw's new novel, and it's only just landed on shelves. It's a super smart novel. I love the angle of the detective who's going through menopause. I'm going through a little bit of perimenopause myself, so it was quite funny and I could relate. And you can just tell that this is going to be a big new series. I really enjoy the detective. But what I particularly loved about this novel is how it's set in the publishing industry. Thank you for joining us, Sungana, with this in-depth look into Exclusive Books' homebrew selection, which really does bring you, our listener, the very best of the best of the best of South African publishing happening right now. So don't miss it, okay, listener? And that brings us to the end of our show. I'd love to thank Penguin Random House, Jonathan Ball Publishers, Jean-Marie Korf, and Abby Dare, what a treat, and Pan Macmillan, as well as Exclusive Books, for not only joining us on the show today, but also for sponsoring this incredible show. And of course, I have to thank Mzu for building the show and bringing us these great pieces of music. And you, our dear listener, thank you for tuning in. We are nothing without you. So we're going to play out with O Sole Mio by the Afro Tenors. And a last nod, if you're at the Franschhoek Literary Festival this weekend, I hope you enjoy it. It's always such a fun weekend. And please do come to my panel on Saturday at 1 p.m. Or if you see me in the streets, come and say hi. I'd love to hear about what you're reading or listening to. And until next time, happy reading.
Che bella cosa, nai urinate sole, n'aria serena.